Blog Talk Radio.
I am living on Channel Z.
Getting up to the static, getting up to the static, static in my attic on Channel Z. Getting up to the static, getting up to the static.
Welcome to another night at Wise Women Media. This is Anita Stewart. We want to thank our sponsors, Roundtree 7, Here Be Monsters, and the Hoodoo Blog for supporting our endeavor on Blog Talk Radio. We have a special guest tonight, Karen Lohman from Sacred Grounds Coffee House in Tampa. And I'm going to just give the floor to Karen, and she can tell us a little bit about herself and how the Sacred Grounds Coffee House was born and what the unique concept is behind the coffee house and what it supports. Karen?
Hi, Anita. Thanks for having me on Blog Talk Radio and Wise Women Media. It's an honor, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Thanks.
Sacred Grounds has been around since 1996. It was created from an opportunity after I got laid off from my corporate job, just because at that time there was some difficulties with some jobs that were going on, as well as I was experiencing some discrimination from upper management. It was my answer to open up a space for people that they could figure out who they were, be themselves, express themselves, and really explore their creative side. So Sacred Grounds is a coffee house that's in Tampa, and we host original open mics, encourage people to create their own works, words, songs, expressions. We have music throughout the week. We have different local meetings that happen. There's the local green party that meets the second Wednesday of every month. And we're going to kind of go on a little branch here. Jill Stein is the presidential candidate for the Green Party this year, and we will be having a house party for her on January the 25th. You would be able to ask any questions and communicate with her through Skype. It'll start around 8 o'clock. So we are also one of the meeting places for Move to Amend Tampa Bay, which is to assist in basically taking the personhood out of corporations and putting it back the way that it was. There's some movement there and trying to help that, and this is the meeting spot for them. There's going to be a rally on the courthouse, around the courthouse. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. On the 20th, which is Friday downtown as well, but they meet on the third Thursday of the month. And we have a singer-songwriter night that highlights independent musicians, and we really get to hear them in a different sort of way. When it's not like it's a show when they play, but it's like you get to ask singer-songwriter people how and what has inspired them and what keeps them going. And, you know, it's an awesome way to reconnect with people in their art modality and really learn more about the artist. So those are just examples. We have workshops, spiritual workshops that happen. We have permaculture workshops that happen. We're really much more community-centered and selling coffees and teas and organic snacks, and light food fair is how we stay open for the community. So that's a little bit about Sacred Grounds. And you can find the calendar and more about us at sacredgroundstampa.com.
What's really amazing is when I think back on it, I know that we met at Sacred Grounds, but I can't remember. It was something community-oriented, but I don't know exactly at what event I actually met you, because I was already coming for different events and things that were happening at the coffee house. And I look back on it, and I can't remember whether it was Code Pink meetings or whether we were doing spiritual stuff with Reiki. It was just kind of like a combination of different events that were all happening around the same time. But when I look back, it had to be in 2004 maybe, or maybe even before that. Do you remember?
I think it was Code Pink, and I can't remember if 911 Truth came after that. There's been a lot of things. Yeah. I think Code Pink was first, and then of course, you know, there's so many facets to the things that we do here and how we're involved with community. We had Reiki circles, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yes, so lots of spiritual energy that runs through here, and all good times.
I remember the people that used to come and knit, and I don't know if they're still coming, but it was. I thought to myself, now that's a skill I really want to learn. I'm a senior now. I want to learn how to knit. And I thought, it's very practical, especially if you're heading up north, to knit your own hats and gloves. And I can't get past the scarf part. So I can knit scarves just fine, but anything else is too complicated. So I thought, wow, if those people are still around, I could probably come to their classes and learn. But are they still coming?
Go ahead.
I think they were like a combination. They were knitting and doing something else, but I can't remember what that was.
Well, instead of having, what was it, a stitch and bitch, if you will, it was a knit and brew. And
oh, my God. Yeah, I like that concept. I think that's funny.
Yeah. Well, currently we do not have a knit and brew group. However, I do believe there's one that's on the horizon. We actually open up here most holidays, and so for, I think it was Christmas night, we had a few people show up, and one person wanted to learn how to knit, and she had received knitting needles for Christmas. And there was another lady who just moved in the area. She's from actually a little bit further north of us and has been a patron and a friend of Sacred Grounds, but she just moved now into the neighborhood. Dawn showed up, and somebody was like, I want to learn how to knit. And Dawn says, well, I don't like to knit, but I can teach you how to do it. And so she sat there that evening and taught Jackie how to knit. So there's hope. I can hook you guys up, especially because Dawn's settling into her new space. So,
well, that would be cool, because I don't know how to drop stitches and I don't know how to add on stitches. I just know how to, like, knit, like, just a scarf. I can't get anything more complicated than that. Just,
we can work,
you know,
the that.
Same row, the same number of stitches in the row. That's all I can do. But I really would like to learn how to make some hats. I mean, I was thinking that's very, very practical. And I thought that would be something cool if I ever had to go up north. I could knit my own hat, but you can't find a lot of knitted things down here in Florida to buy. So, you know, we only have like cold weather maybe 10 to 20 days out of the year. So, it's not like that stuff is really needed, so.
Right.
Your coffee house has also kick-started the careers of some musicians, too. And can you tell us a little bit about those people that have kind of moved on and they come back to Sacred Grounds basically as a home base?
Yeah, they do. We actually have Christy Linné, who started out here when she was 16. I was the first person to ask her if she would like to play originals, because when I first asked her, she's like, well, yeah, I've got quite a few covers. It's like, no, do you have originals? She goes, I have a ton of originals. And I was like, would really like for you to play originals. And so she said, you're the first person that's ever asked me to do that. And so Christy Linné has played with Tim Reynolds, who plays with the Dave Matthews Band, and it's funny because she said that she was playing with him at one point in time, and the crowd just started. They hit Tim Reynolds' band is called TR3, and they were saying, they were chanting in the audience, TR4, 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 meaning to bring on Chrissy for a fourth member. She has some opportunities, possibly some opportunities to play with and open for the Dave Matthews Band this year. I hope I'm not cursing that or saying it too soon, but I'm hoping that that comes along with her. She also, January 22nd, up in, I believe, Gainesville, Georgia, or Dahlonega, Georgia, one of those two places, is actually opening for Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls. So,
oh, wow. I love that area of Georgia, too. That is such a pretty... there. And there's a lot of indie stuff of all kinds going on in North Georgia. I think some of that coolness from Asheville is spreading down south of that little border there, and those people up in the mountains of Georgia are really, it's becoming a cool place to be, you know.
Go ahead. I was going
to
say, we actually have an Asheville singer-songwriter, Nikki Talley, that's coming into town tonight, and she'll be playing here tomorrow. She may be here at open mic tonight, but she'll be playing here tomorrow at singer-songwriter night. And the other, not the only, because there's many, but the other person that I just wanted to bring up real quick, which is a local favorite and international musician now, is Jerry X. She started here. I gave her first gig, weekly gig, on when she was 14. And she has just blown Tampa Bay away. Just incredible, you know, music. She's gotten singer-songwriter, or she's gotten actually best songwriter, I believe, in the Tampa Bay area from the Creative Loafing. So
yeah, I remember that. That.
Yeah, it's been an honor to watch people come into their creative aspects and become more comfortable and then just take off and really being in their passions, you know?
Right.
So what were you going to ask me? Yeah.
Now I can't remember, but we were talking. Oh, yeah. The question I had next was about the open mics. Tell us about the open mics, and also tell us about how this has kind of spilled over into Occupy Tampa as well.
Open mic is basically an opportunity to speak, and we have poets, we have spoken word. We have people that play their own music, and they can be at all different levels. We do comedy as well. We do a lot of we've also worked with Silver Glass Productions and the New Seeds Festival, which is a creation of Suzanne Ouellette's, basically encouragement for socially relevant comedy, theater, and also focusing on women's expression and women's contribution, more feminist work, because we're still living in a very male-dominated society and environment, and women's voices, in order to balance that out, really need to be heard. So we really encourage women to step forward and express and create. So, in fact, she's got New Seeds Festivals coming up in March here in Tampa, and you can find out more information about that at newseedsfest.com. As far as Occupy Tampa, again, another way to just express what's been going on, and, you know, people taking things in and processing and then reflecting back. We did just an awareness open mic. I helped host it along with Reggie Eldridge, which is Reggie Eldridge and Daytime Tolliver. They are two amazing leaders in spoken word and poetry in the Tampa Bay area, among so many others. I mean, the list is long here. Anyway, we put on an open mic that was a combination of poetry and music and many favorites and talented people. John Clark came out for it. Suzanne Ouellette came out for it. Nick Tummy, Meredith Marsh, many people supported it. And just in practicing freedom of speech. So it was awesome, and we plan on doing some more.
What are some of the political groups that actually have meetings at Sacred Grounds? I know, you know, I can speak for the Green Party and Move to Amend, which are two groups that I'm involved with, but what are other groups that might not be necessarily mainstream political action groups?
That's a good question. It's waxed and waned over the years, but currently I don't know that we have too many. I know that Occupy Tampa comes up on open mic, and they'll kind of give us a breakdown of what's been happening with them, and then just to announce to people and inform people about what Occupy Tampa is all about. We've had, I don't know that we've got any more political groups. I mean, there's just the opposite, actually. We had a fundraiser for Katzel Dharma Center, and one of the founding lamas of the Katzel Dharma Center came in and was in the shop this past week. And we've done some fundraisers with them. We work with the community in different ways just to, anybody that's working on expanding consciousness and creating peace within themselves and contributing to peace externally. And it's not just peace, it's a calmness within oneself and an empowering of oneself to really discern what are the most important things that we participate and we create in our own lives.
Yeah, I like the Reiki shares and the energy work. I know we've done that. We've had some really cool, I remember the one solstice, winter solstice we did, which honored just about every mainstream faith. We had someone to represent Kwanzaa, Christmas, solstice. There was a Hindu festival that happens at the same time, but I can't think of the name. So we did a little bit of each of those traditions, and then had like a little feast and a little get together, and it was pretty enlightening. I loved that, actually, and I thought that would be a nice tradition to follow because everybody's faith is honored at something like that. And what, in speaking of Occupy, what do you think of Occupy Tampa right now, and what are some of their challenges, and what are some of the good things that's happened perhaps in the past couple weeks?
Well, speaking specifically of Occupy, I would bring something very kind of personal to me. We actually lost a member of Occupy Tampa last Wednesday. Her name was Kara. She was a, I believe, African American. I think there's some Spanish in there. Male to female transition person who... she just passed away, and they believe it was a blood clot in the lung, in her lung, and she had told the EMS, EMTs, and she had told the physicians that she believed that she had had a blood clot, and they didn't believe her.
And she was young, wasn't she? an older person, you know, like over 30 being transgendered. She was rather young, wasn't she?
Yeah, and very passionate about, you know, some of the things at Occupy Tampa and just motivated, very active as part of the USF Feminist Alliance group. She touched a lot of people. She had come to Sacred Ground several times with her companion, Walt. Sacred Grounds is actually having a memorial remembrance for her tomorrow. It'll be from 6 to 8:30, and there'll be free vegan food. And anybody that may be listening, if you hadn't heard before and you know her, please, we encourage people, invite people to come out and share in her life and, you know, just anything about her. And that's been one of the biggest things for me lately in Occupy Tampa. They were in downtown Tampa, and a local park owner, Joe Redner, has given up a park, Freedom Park, Voice of Freedom Park, more towards, it's in central Tampa, but not in downtown Tampa. And I think that most of the things that they have faced, and have, or not most, but a lot, is that we really are trying to find, to get some cooperation to be able to speak, through, you know, have freedom of speech and have the opportunity to address grievances when things are out of balance. So many people are taking for granted our government and that what they lay down is that we follow. And people have forgotten that we are the people that create, we are the creators of everything that's around us. And if things are not in harmony, then we need to get together and figure out and agree that things are not in harmony. And then what do we want to do to try to fix them? What is it that we want and how are we going to get there? And that we shape government and those structures, not government shaping us. And I believe that we've forgotten that. And I think Occupy, anytime people get together, you're going to have a million different ways of looking at things. But there has to be a process that goes through that says, okay, what can we agree on now? Where can we agree that we need to go? And then let's talk about the possibilities and the avenues of how we need to get there.
I've said on other shows when I've been talking to other people about the whole political scene going on right now is that change has to come from the bottom up, because we already know just from the events of the past 10, 12 years that the change is never going to come from the top down. So it's, you know, I know you are a strong supporter of local everything, local community, local food, you know, developing community around people that are all like-minded, or not even like-minded about everything, but just like-minded about sustainability and sustainable living. And one of the biggest things going on around in Tampa right now is something that I've gotten involved with, which is Transition Town. We have an initiating group that actually has been meeting since we had the training last October. So some very interesting things afoot, but, you know, we're building those relationships of trust and honoring each other before we go any further. And I think starting out slow is not a bad idea for some endeavor like this, but for local food, it's kind of sprung up everywhere. And this is what people are doing, because we're understanding that, you know, as we transition off the fossil fuels, we got to have the food in place. If we don't, we're in big trouble. So I know you have a lot to say about that. So go right ahead and you can tell us of maybe some of the meetings that are going on in Sacred Grounds about that.
Yes, awesome things that are happening. A couple of things. Trust, let's talk about that. Trust is the most important thing that we can ever have. Not only, it's really trust of self, more than trust of other people. Because because if you have trust of self to know that you're making a good decision, because getting to know anybody or getting involved in any sort of a relationship, whether it's with your neighbor, whether it's with friends, whether it's with anything, is the ability to trust that you know you're making a good decision and that the risk of, you know, being there for each other is going to be there. And that,
right.
That risk is nice. So trusting yourself and other people, then reaching out to trust other people, realizing and knowing that we have to come together. You know, we're in Hurricane Alley in a sense. If we had a bad enough hurricane that we had to, we were cut off from a lot of transportation, you know, you would need to ensure that you would have fresh food, nutrition. Our bodies require the enzymes and nutrition that comes from fresh food. There's a symbiotic relationship that's there. So we can't just rely on all frozen things and canned things that come from other places. You know, we have to be able to sustain ourselves from what is local. And I think there's been some complacency and just some assumptions that, you know, we're getting off of the farm and we're advancing because we don't need to all keep gardens and all that. And when you get to a certain point, when you realize that we still need to have that relationship with the nutrition that supports us. So
right.
There, I know that there's been several community gardens that have been popping up all over the Tampa Bay area. The Pinellas Garden Collective is working in St. Pete. That's June Bustamante and a whole bunch of other people also working with Transitions in there. A great way to find out what's going on in Pinellas County is through Roots. I think it's roots.us.
Right.
Look up June Bustamante. There's, let's see, other, there's Food Not Lawns that we've, that Sacred Grounds has actually been a part of in launching in Tampa, although we need to be more assertive with that. I know we're actually putting in a little garden in front of the shop in the next couple of weeks. To grow herbs and plants and some vegetables right here in front of the shop. And just, it's been taking off. It's more of building community and, you know, like in the Victory Gardens in the war, you know, in the 40s, it's like if people are being affected by not having enough money for food and food has been rising, I mean, that's, invest in the seeds and food right now because the payback on that is better than the stock market unless you're in oil, you know?
Right, exactly. I've been really alarming things when I'm driving up 301 as I've been cruising up 301 pretty much from Ridge Manor all the way down to like Hillsborough Avenue, for instance. People are out on the street selling their personal belongings. It's just not just used furniture and high ticket items, but it looks like stuff that they've picked out of a closet, shoes, clothes. I mean, and then a lot of the local churches up in, say, you know, Pasco County on 301, any day of the week you can drive by and they've got everything set out. It's not just on Saturdays anymore. It's like any day of the week. So I'm thinking there was a beautiful pop-up camper. I mean, it was, if I had had the cash, I would have bought it on the spot. But it was a beautiful, beautiful shape, $3,000 or some crazy, ridiculous price like that, one of the newer pop-up campers. And I thought, wow, if I had that money, I would have bought that. But these people are unloading their personal items because they're desperate. There's no jobs. They're not working. Or what's worse is they're working, but they're underworking, so they're not being paid a living wage. Plus, they're working part-time hours, so they're selling stuff just out of desperation to pay the bills or buy food. I don't know about you, but I do know some people that were refused food stamps. So this has become an issue for a lot of people, is the fact that they can't even get the basic services. The services that were available 5 years ago are no longer available. So this is we're in pretty desperate times, and I think having a community place like your place, it draws people together, and it also brings the people together with a willingness to help one another as it is needed. So that's a very positive thing. There's some great community gardens, the Seminole Heights Community Gardens, to speak of those. Newport Richey just opened up the first one with Code Green Community. I think it was last weekend or the weekend before. So, you know, these things are helping. And I encourage everybody, if you've got a spare 2 hours, there was the Arrow, A-E-R-O garden that's open, just become open south of Brooksville. So if anybody has spare time, 2 hours, 3 hours, they can go and devote to these gardens. You walk away with food. You get to take food with you, you know. So helping them to do anything to get the garden going, turning the compost, weeding, whatever. You become a worker bee. You put in the time, and your exchange is in food, not money. So this is going to be, we're going to be coming up with a lot of alternative ways to exchange services. Have you heard about the time banks or the Tampa Time Bank?
Yes, I have. I wanted to go back. We actually donate our coffee and tea grounds to the Seminole Heights Community Garden. And so that's one of the ways that I help with them. And we've been able to benefit with some kale and some basil and some lemongrass, perfect when I needed it. So it's a great, great exchange. And then, you know, gardening seems like it can be so intensive, but when you have a group that's committed to it, everybody benefits. So that's just one of the things I wanted to say. Now, what did you just say? Ask me again. I wanted to just make sure I got in there with that.
Can't remember. but we talked about, I talked about the gardens. Oh, the time banking.
Mm. There is a time bank that already exists for Tampa Bay that is mostly based in St. Pete. And you can do a search for Time Bank, which might even be timebanktampabay.org. There's a minimal amount of fee that you put in just for an admin to keep you're basically contributing for the website to be up and for your information to be on there. And it's people are exchanging time within a certain radius of your house. And so if you go and do a specific job or something for someone, then you can accumulate hours and then you can use your hours. So, like, if you needed to go, let's say you are a seamstress and you worked with someone, over here that needed to get some things repaired or something made, and you've got, say, 3 or 4 hours in. And there might be an attorney that's in the group, and you might need something from an attorney, or you may need, you know, some legal counseling. So you could go see and spend an hour or two with the attorney. So it's an hour of time that can all be swapped. In other words, you don't have to do the seamstress work for the attorney. You still utilize the attorney's contribution of time. So
right.
I think that, you know, and you're not basically, and it's, what's really nice is that the attorney and the seamstress and anybody else's time are all equal. It's not about a value that's more important or placed higher than anybody else.
Right. That's exactly what I liked about it. Everybody's time is equal. Everybody's level of expertise in their field is honored because it is all the same value, and you put in an hour dog walking and you get an hour of legal counsel, for instance, or, you know, an hour of babysitting or something like that. That makes everybody in the community on an equal level playing field, and I think that's so much more honoring of people and the work and the skills that they do. I love the idea. Now, I haven't signed up for the Tampa Time Banks yet, but I have every intention to do that. But I think it's a wonderful endeavor. It's already begun, and people need to get involved. So anybody who's listening, if you're not involved, just look it up online, Tampa Time Bank. And if you can get involved right away and offer your skills, just your banking hours where you might need another skill set for yourself or for a family member. And it's a wonderful way of getting that and doing that and having a different exchange rather than money. Because we all know that the money's becoming worthless. As time goes on, it's becoming of less and less value. So I really, really rejoice in this whole thing of time banking.
It allows for living to still be in the flow, you see, because when you raise prices on something or you value something that may be inflated, but there's really not much more money coming in, people are not having more money to be able to do this. So this exchange of using monetary exchange is out of balance. And when you realize that you still need someone's time and expertise to be contributed or inserted in this portion of your life, it just allows for flow. So if we're all willing to be giving and receiving and stay in the flow, then everything works with less money.
Right,
you're still
right.
Doing what you need to accomplish.
Right.
And Sacred Grounds is actually in the process of putting together what it needs in order to be in balance to also grow with kind of a hybrid of time contribution and you know, even exchange in other modes. So look for that to come. I'm working on that right now, actually.
I wanted to talk to you about some of the things that I've been reading about today and just kind of get your feel for what's going on. I'm getting a lot of information about weird sounds emanating from the earth. It's almost like, and it's happening in different places across the globe, and I just got another alert from Dutch Sense, who's been putting out all these marvelous videos about earth changes, earthquakes, weird cloud formations. He just uploaded a video, and he's captioned it with "Something strange is afoot. Unknown sounds heard globally over the past few days, basically starting up in rapid pace on January 11th, 2012, up until today, January 16th, 2012. I don't know how long this will continue or what it is." Now, I've been watching these because other people have been sending them to me, different videos from around. What's your take on the current earth changes, and what do you see or observe, and what is happening from your point of view? Because I can certainly elaborate and embellish anything that you say on it, too. So,
well, we have to remember, the only thing that is constant in the universe is change.
Right.
We are not fixed beings, or the things that we live in and see and experience are not fixed things on a planet. It may appear to be that, but it's not. So we are in infinite and perpetual motion, which has stresses on bodies and on mass.
Right.
You can pull, you know, you pull yourself up and out, you know, and you're like, okay, well, I'm in Tampa, Florida. I'm in Hillsborough. I'm in
United States. I'm on planet Earth. I'm in the Milky Way galaxy.
I'm on planet.
Exactly.
No. The first song.
Exactly. Come on. So, you know, you pull yourself out. I mean, there have been, you know, talks and theories of us approaching the galactic center, and there are new stresses that these other universes put on our universe. Just our own rotation within context of that. Two, there are, you know, that's what, there's something that's affecting earthquakes. We've had a lot more earthquakes. I must be an earthquake geek because it's one of the things that we look at before we go to bed at each night is what is the earthquake activity for the day?
Right.
And, you know, and what's being changed, you know, you, we also have technology that's been happening, HARP is being used, they say, to, you know, in the name of control, but it can also be used for other things as well. So we don't know if it's HARP is being used to create such things. We don't know if it's stresses from the universe. Certainly there's been changes of things. So it's definitely something to kind of keep a couple of ideas maybe running and then try to figure that out. But things aren't as what they seem sometimes.
Right, right. Well, I've been following Dutch Sense for a while and most of his videos, which have been enlightening to say the least, and I don't know how he, as a non-scientist, I mean, I just marvel at his brilliance and being able to put all of this together. There's plenty of evidence to show that a lot of the earthquake activity is caused by fracking. It seems that a lot of the locations have fracking very close by. So for these energy companies to say that these things are not, that what they're doing is not related to the earth changes happening around us, I don't know, I just think it's kind of ludicrous. I mean, they're shoving huge amounts of pressure into the Earth's crust. I mean, I just think the Mother Earth has had enough, and we're going to have some long-term ramifications over the next years if this kind of activity continues. Have you? What is your take? I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but I've been reading the book. It's called Deep Green Resistance. Have you looked into that or checked into that at all?
I know you've been reading that for a while, and I have not had time to look that up, but we really need to get connected again and really have a better understanding of who we are in relationship to our spaceship, our home spaceship.
Right.
And by abusing the resources and the tools that we have and have been given, is really, it's all it does is kill us. And you're right about some of the fracking. They're hacking all over the world to basically go for oil, and we have technologies and have evolvement that we could switch into other modalities and transition to other modalities that would allow us to reclaim the Eden that we once lived in. So I think that if we change our relationship with the green that's around us, with our environment, then that's going to be our first step in regaining anything, because it shifts what our priorities and what it is that we value the most into
Right. Something
much more of a balanced and symbiotic relationship.
Right, right. I've been looking at a lot of these reports, too, that have been coming out. One most recent report came out this weekend, and, of course, I could go on and on about the Gulf oil spill. But the latest report headline is USF study finds more sick fish in oil spill area than rest of Gulf of Mexico. And I looked at this and I went, duh. And I thought, this same writer wrote almost the same article exactly a year ago. I actually pulled it up in a search about sick fish. But it says a government-funded survey of the entire Gulf of Mexico last summer found more sick fish in the area of the 2010 oil spill than anywhere else, according to the top University of South Florida scientist in charge of the project. I find that kind of interesting since it's not widely known, but it was reported that the University of South Florida received a $500 million grant from BP to do research. So is the money coming from the government, or is the money coming from BP, or is now BP the government? So I couldn't really get that question answered in this article, but it came out on Saturday. It's written by Craig Pittman. It has a little map of the different locations of fish caught that have the skin lesions, and I'm going to put this warning out again to everybody, as I have repeatedly. Please, if you're eating the seafood, you are taking your life in your hands. This fish has the corexit, not just the oil, but the dispersants, the poisons in the DNA, in their DNA. And if humans are eating them, they are going to be sick. It's that simple. They're going to be sick and eventually die from this with repeated exposure to it. So if anybody wants to look up that article, USF study finds more sick fish in oil spill area than rest of Gulf of Mexico. It was published Saturday in the Tampa Bay Times, January 14th. So, Karen, you got any comments on that? I know you and I have been talking about local food and about the dangers of seafood. What have you got to say about some of the stuff I've told you about and what you've researched on your own?
Well, if you really think about it, everything is organic. It just over years we've extracted things and made different combinations, but they've all come from an organic origin. I think that the planet is doing its best to filter out and correct the problems that man has created, which is, and the oil spill is one of those things. But that's going to take time. That's going to take quite a bit of time, I feel like. And I personally have chosen not to eat seafood that has come from the Gulf or potentially could come from the Gulf because of that. I've seen photos. I've read documents stating that they would go in the middle of the night and pull just bodies, animal bodies, off of the beaches, and you know what all that looked like. That stuff has been caught up in currents and moved around, but the combination of the corexit has just really, really made a mess of things. I didn't know about the grants to the University of South Florida, but I did know students that were working on trying to come up with basically an algae that would deconstruct oil and actually eat oil.
Right. That's actually part of BP. Well, they call it something else, but it was actually the programs that they have for the bioengineering, I guess. I can't think of the actual term. I wish Tricia Springstead was here online or would call in, and then she could fill us in because she's done a lot of the research in the Gulf. She's an RN, but she's also a researcher, so she's studied extensively the symptomology and the physical effects of the Gulf oil spill and the toxins involved in it. And I also posted on my page just the other day, January 12th, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, another dead dolphin surrounded by IMMS, checking it out. I'm not sure what IMMS is. It's an acronym for whatever governing agency is that would actually pick up the carcasses off the beach. But in any case, the dolphins are still washing up, if that's the case. And it seems like there's a lot of them in January, February, March. But it's still happening, and I just caution people to be very, very careful about what you're eating, not just seafood, but we don't even know what we're getting in the stores anymore. And there's so many people in this area that are so well-versed on healthy food. Elaine is one of them. You're one of them, Karen. Robin over at Seminole Heights. And I caution people to seek out those people in your community that know more than you do about healthy food and sit at their feet and take in as much as you can, because the stuff at the store or anything in a box, not good, not good at all. Please don't eat it, or find other things to eat, or better yet, grow your own.
Exactly. There's a fish farm that's actually up in Dade City, Morningstar Fisheries, that they actually have big indoor tanks of tilapia, because they're freshwater fish, that people are eating. That's another alternative, and you can grow tilapia in a pretty good sized fish tank. I know I've done it here at the shop, and then I gave the fish away. A couple people ate the fish and they thought it was great. So, you know, you could, and then, you know, any water that comes off of that, it can also help your garden grow. So certainly alternative ways, eating vegetarian takes up less fossil fuels, and especially if you're growing your own and doing it organically, you're contributing back to oxygen and a much better symbiotic relationship, less fossil fuels, and a healthier way of eating.
I think these same people that run the fish farm have actually been to the Brooksville Saturday morning market. And for those of you that live in the Brooksville area, anybody listening from there, they will be flipping that market to Friday. And then the Saturday market is out on 19 in Spring Hill in the old Kmart parking lot. I prefer the one in the downtown area. I just think it's much more homey. But in any case, these fish farmers with the tilapia, what they were doing with that same water was they were growing romaine hydroponically.
Right.
And let's tell you, if you buy that romaine and make a salad out of it, you have never tasted romaine like that. It actually has a taste. It was just delicious. And I thought, the stuff I've been getting in the store, it just tastes like it's water. There's no flavor to it. And it doesn't last very long. This romaine, I was able to make, you know, I was able to keep it for about a week. I made several salads out of it. It had a flavor. It didn't wilt. It didn't get those horrible brown spots on it. And I was satisfied with knowing that I was eating something healthy and pure and not pumped with chemicals or pesticides. Better. Go ahead.
You also have to remember that even if you're getting organic produce from a distributor, like one of the main stores, like Whole Foods or anything like that, if it's a distributor, they're required to actually have irradiated produce. So you might have organic fruits and vegetables that are coming to you still via the petrol system, but they're the way, you know, with any kind of bacteria, like when we had the spinach E. coli thing and scare and hurt people, is that they're using irradiation to kill the bugs, if you will, and the bacteria.
Right.
That still has an effect on the plant's essence. And those brown spots that you're seeing are, if you get it from the grocery store, is that they've had to go through an irradiation plan. And there is one that's in the area in Mulberry.
Right. That's scary. Now, what about the local? There was local food that we did a program on the Wise Women of Permaculture last week. We had some interesting people from our own community come on the air with us. We had Christy Abbott from Pinellas County. We had Peggy Campbell from over in Polk County. And we had Mary Davis from Plant City, who has the most amazing permaculture yard and grows food in her yard. Amazing work that she's done. And you and I both know Mary. Have you ever been to visit her home and seen her garden?
I have. I've helped uproot some trees where she can put some more beds in. And she is an amazing example of what you can do and how you can reappropriate resources that you never saw that you had before, by just shifting your attention and shifting your understanding of what something is, could now be something that helps you in this transition of making food and using less money and less resources.
Exactly.
She's been such a great, she's an incredible grandmother energy. She's still very much young at heart, and her contributions in the community on gardening and activism have just been immense. So
we have a caller. Who's on the line with us? Please tell us your name.
Oh, yeah, my name is Suzanne Willett.
Okay, hi, Suzanne. Do you have a question for Karen or I?
Yeah, how easy is it to grow, like, hydroponic vegetables?
That's a good question. Karen, you got any insight on that?
There's a couple of things. Actually, welcome, Suzanne. Suzanne, I was talking about Suzanne earlier in the show. She's the one that does the New Seeds Festival and stuff. So she is a very wise woman and a strong woman who's in the community. So it's awesome that she's calling in. A couple things about hydroponic stuff is you do need to have nutrients in the water. If you live by a lake or a pond, you can take advantage of being able to grow vegetables that would require constant moistness. Like, for example, like the herb rosemary has a very dry soil, and it needs to be able to drain. It does not work at all in a wet environment. But things with like lettuce and romaine, you can basically float things on top of the water once you would get a small plant going. And even if you were to keep it in a medium, but just constantly wet, and it cleans and filters the water as well. So there's a great relationship that happens there. I recently have seen a video on YouTube where they've taken old, we're going to be doing this at Sacred Grounds as well, they've taken old like soda bottles, whether they're 1 liter or 2 liter, cut a hole in the bottom and on the side, and then set up where, poke holes in the lid. And you string them up one on top of each other, so it's a vertical situation. Still has the dirt and things as a medium, but then you still can put water in, and that just, the gravity pulls the water down. In a sense, you're still using, even though you're using soil, it's not a conventional pot or in the ground, and that still can be considered more of a hydroponic thing. But you do need to make sure that you've got nutrients and nitrogen and some other things, that micronutrients that you would find actually in ponds, and other chemicals you can make your own through a composted tea and vermiculture, which is even worm castings in water that would feed those vegetables.
Can you do that for, like, even tomatoes? Because originally I'm from up north, and tomatoes have a season, but is that the same down here, or?
Tomatoes, you could do kind of like what I was talking. They can't be hydroponic in that they are aquaculture. Let me make the distinction. Tomatoes are not, from what I understand, in aquaculture. With any plant root, you still have to have an air exchange as well. So I would think that you would be able to grow them hydroponically. You just need to be able to have the right combination of water, nutrition, and air.
Okay.
So, yeah, and they do have a season, but depending upon how you may, if you're doing them indoor, you may be able to change your season with it or extend it. But I know now is the time to be growing tomatoes. From now, once you get too far into the summer, it gets too hot. So from being up north, it's like the winter time, if you will, and fall times and winter is the time to grow in Florida. And the summer times, it's too hot. So I know up north in the summertime is when things are, you know, are warm but not hot. And so it's like the opposite of growing season down here than up north.
Oh, okay. And let me ask you this. How come the tomatoes that are supposedly even vine ripened? Why do they seem so tasteless, even like when they still say vine ripened in the store?
That's a good question. I know a lot of times they'll just, you know, anytime you put vegetables put off a gas, and when you put them in a bag, it traps that gas and then helps ripen the vegetable. It's all in what you're putting in to the vegetables, whether it's nutrients, but there's also plants have a vibration, just like people have a vibration. And if they're just being brought up, and this is going to sound crazy, but if they're just being brought up in a plain old factory all the time, they're not getting the nutrients, and they're not really getting the attention that they need. So whatever you put into your soil and how healthy your soil is or your medium is, which is where your nutrients and micronutrients come from, is going to make a completely different outcome than if you have very little to work with. So your soil, you know, like in the Great Depression, it may sound like I'm getting off topic, but when we had the dust bowls and all that and we lost all that topsoil, that's all the nutrients that we need. And we take for granted what it is and where our food gets the nutrients from. So having a healthy soil or a healthy medium in order for the plant to have that transport of nutrients is important. So the better fertilizer as far as natural fertilizers go, and organics, and the things that are in nitrogen and the plant rotation that you can put for nitrogen in the soil, the better off you will be.
Okay. Wow. Have you all heard about windowfarms.org? It's an interesting concept of taking used plastic bottles, like water bottles, and you connect them to a pump that that filters the water, similar to a fish pump or fish tank pump. And you're literally using those bottles as little planters, hydroponic planters, to plant greenery. It not only is it excellent for saving space, like if you're in an urban, you know, space, you're living in an urban space, it provides a window cover similar to a curtain, and you can move these things around depending on what kind of light you need to grow the plants. But you can grow things in them like spinach, romaine, other things, and there's also several different sizes you can buy. You can purchase them to assemble them. You can purchase them already assembled. And they also have special programs for schools and teaching children how to do this. So if you haven't seen it, if neither of the two of you have seen it and any of our listeners have not seen it, you can check out the website at windowfarms.org. It's very, very interesting. And I thought, you know, one of these days I'm going to get rid of my curtains and then I'm just going to put up these window farm things and not use curtains. So
that's exactly that's it, what we're doing in using recycling, actually, 2-liter soda bottles.
Right.
To do a similar thing. And to kind of come back to what Suzanne was talking about is, like, for example, cilantro is an herb, or parsley, still in the cilantro family, is grown mostly in the cooler times. Once it gets too warm, it'll start bolting. And in order to extend that growing season is that we can do that on the inside and maintain more temperature and still affect some of the light with having like the hanging curtains on the inside of the shop, and extends the growing season for that particular herb.
That's cool. That's really cool. It's a natural curtain, you know?
Yeah, I love that idea. I just think it's a fantastic idea to, you know, put that up instead of material that collects dust that you have to take down your window treatment and throw it in the wash, whereas you're actually making, you know, fantastic use of your space and promoting healthy air in addition to growing plants that you can actually eat. So I just think, you know, all the way around, it's just a super fantastic idea. And as we go into, you know, this century, and people are going to have to be looking at alternate ways to grow plants, especially if they're in urban areas, this is going to save up their space. It's going to be it's a wonderful idea. I'm looking at the website right now. It looks like they've done a website overhaul. I'm not familiar with this. This is their second website. But see, it has like two links, buy one or build one. You have the do-it-yourself instructions, or you have people that, you know, you'll actually be able to order one that's already assembled. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. The nicest thing about those is that it gets so hot in the summertime down here that it really does give you an opportunity to extend the growing seasons for different aspects of food. So that's good. So,
well, anybody listening from that's not in Florida, for those of you that do not know this, it's very, very difficult to grow anything here in Florida from like May until September. We really don't. We really can't grow anything in the summer. We really harvest the last spring planting in May, and then I don't really put seeds in the ground until the very end of August, beginning of September. But during the summer months, I don't grow anything because everything just burns.
We really have
here in Florida 3 growing seasons, and I would say probably goes from September to November, and then in December, maybe beginning of January until March, and then from March until May, and that's it. So anything in those long summer months from May onwards and into some parts of September, depending on what you're actually planting in the ground in August, you're not going to grow anything. So it's kind of sad. You know, this gives, it does give us an opportunity to be able to grow indoors using the light but not using the heat.
Right.
So that's
now, there's another thing to remember, too, is that we're planting seeds and growing plants not only for food, but we also need to remember to plant extra, not only because we're going to have some bugs that are going to need to get fed, because that's part of the natural ecosystem, and at the same time, we're going to need to get more seeds. So you need to honor the seed process so that
right.
you can get new seeds for the next crop, and then you'll have some more to share rather than doing like the Monsanto plan, which is to continue to buy your seeds because they won't reproduce seeds. So it's important to get seeds from like Seeds of Change, Southern Seed Exposure, Heirloom Seeds, something that has been around, tried and true, and for the South, because you can't necessarily grow the same thing down here as you can up north. So if you're up north and you have a greenhouse, it does allow for some more variety. You can get creative down here, but I do think that you're more limited. In other words, it's harder to make the immediate area colder as compared to putting up a greenhouse and making an area there warmer.
Right.
But hey, Suzanne, don't you have some new seeds in a different sort of way going on soon?
Oh, yeah. It's a festival, actually, the New Seeds Festival, and thanks for mentioning it, Karen. Yeah, it's a women's performance festival held during Women's History Month, and we showcase women's performance across all genres like dance, music, poetry, spoken words. So it's really a celebration and honoring of what women bring to performance. Yeah. Thank you.
When is this held?
It's held the last two weekends in March. It's the 23rd and the 24th, and the 30th and the 31st.
And where's that going to be held at?
At Tampa Prep. It's the Bob Smith Black Box Theater there on the campus of Tampa Prep, 7:30 till 10 p.m.
Okay.
Can you send us a link on that?
Oh, yeah, I'll send you a link on it.
Good. And I can post it.
All right, thank you so much.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. No, this is, I'm really excited because this is the second New Seeds Festival that's ever happened. It's the first time, the second time now, actually, but the first time that it's been a focus on women's creative festival in the Tampa Bay area, and it is just a fine example that we're hoping many people will take a lead on, you know, to take and honor it and recreate it in other places. We were just talking earlier about how it's such a male-dominated planet right now, and that it just seems to be out of balance. And so really honoring and focusing and really appreciating women who are credited with creating other beings, you know, it's just it's a great honor to have you on the show and a great example of how to contribute to a better balance all the way around the planet.
Well, thanks, Karen, and I thank you guys for having an outlet like this, because I have to tell you, this is really like old wisdom that you're giving, and not a lot of people know it. I used to have to have a garden when I was younger. My father required us to have a garden, and I didn't like it, but it taught me about the earth. It taught me when the seasons were. I knew when certain vegetables were supposed to come. And it ties you to the earth more, whereas now, and I'm sure you guys have mentioned it, children don't even know, like, where corn comes from and stuff like that. They're like, oh, the grocery store, you know?
Definitely. Well, the thing is that if you're if you know how much or how long it's taken you to grow a tomato, and you're appreciating a salad that you've just spent the last couple of months in taking care of and harvesting and really loving, and it takes time and it takes energy. It's not just I got a few dollars in my, I'm going to be right back, I got a few dollars in my pocket, I'm just going to go pick it up from the store. It's like, really sit and think about the journey of a tomato, or the journey of the salmon you're fixing to eat. I said fixing, we're in the South. Or anything else, even the loaf of bread that you pick up from the store. You know, think about people that that have been in the areas and back in indigenous times and ways where they had to grow the wheat and then they had to turn it into a flour of sorts to work with it, and just how long we have sped up so much that we are completely dependent on outside sources for food. And if you go and look at, like, where you get food, if you're going to get prepared food, you have to go to restaurants if you're not making it at home. And that all that takes time. But all those guys are also trying to sustain themselves. And so they make things cheaper and they put additives in and all these things that are just not in harmony with our bodies. So not only are you treating yourself right nutritionally, less chemicals, and you have a more natural pace and a better appreciation for where that food has come from and what energy on all levels of what's gone into that food.
Right, that's true. Wow, that's true. Okay. All right, ladies. Well, you've given me a lot to think about the next time I eat a salad.
Awesome.
Definitely, definitely. It's like, you know, I'm reading a book right now, in bits and pieces, called Tomato Land, and it's talking about the tomato industry in the state of Florida and how what we're eating is really not a tomato. It's something that's been genetically engineered and changed. It doesn't even have a taste anymore. And the reason that it, basically the reason that it's been changed in all manner of ways is so it has a uniform size and they can save money when they crate and ship the product.
Wow. Wow.
And that is a scary, scary thought because, you know, I love tomatoes, but now I'm at the point where if I see them in the store, knowing what I know, I want to buy the vine ripened, the ones that are imperfect. This is also why there's actually laws against the guy who invented the ugly tomato. I don't know if anybody outside of Florida knows what the ugly tomato is, but they're ugly tomatoes that, you know, look kind of deformed, but they're really tomatoes as they naturally should be. But the man who supposedly invented these tomatoes just recently is not allowed to ship them out of the state of Florida. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of this, and I really want to do some more research about it, but I know that very soon after I found that out, I have not seen any more ugly tomatoes in Publix or anywhere else for that matter, and you can't buy it. So I'm wondering, where the heck did these tomatoes go? I want some. They did taste good. They did taste organic, but apparently this guy isn't allowed to do business or he's been stopped from doing business. So I want to find out more information, and if anybody out there that's listening has any more information on this, please email it to me at anitastewart@gmail.com because I'd really like to know. But in the meantime, what you're eating from Publix or any other grocery store is really not a tomato. I don't know what it is, but it's not what it should be.
I did not know that about the tomato, but I do know that a couple of years ago, in order to do a very similar thing, is that if they can get sliced meat or processed meat like bologna and even some of the pre-sliced like turkey and ham, in order for it to have a longer shelf life on it and to cut down the bacteria that would grow, is that they would spray it with a virus that minimizes bacterial growth. So you're ingesting a virus that attacks bacteria while you're eating already pre-sliced meat.
Wow.
And it's like the focus has become, how can we make the focus for them, the people that the companies and the corporations that are providing food, if you will, are, how do we make a better profit by extending shelf life or making something that looks perfect and perfecting, if you will, nature, even because we want the consumer to, for it to look beautiful on the plate? Well, you can make something look, you know, beautiful, but if it doesn't have the taste and it doesn't have the actual, you know, the reason why we're eating a tomato, then we've lost sight of really what our values are and what's important to us and what they represent.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
okay. Well, listen, ladies. I've got to tell you, I won't be looking at a salad the same way ever again. But I'm gonna get going. But I'll be listening offline. Online, not over the phone. And you guys, you're doing a great job. This is awesome stuff, and people need to know about this. It's the old wisdom you're bringing back.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's what this whole concept of this radio show is all about, is to take our wise women and they can talk about their gifts, whatever those gifts happen to be, and educate all of us with those, because we all have something that we can share. And, you know, I thought up of the concept because nobody else was doing it. And, you know, I think that this is relative for our times, because it's hard for us to get the wisdom. It's hard for us to sit at the feet of someone that's going to train us in the old ways. And a lot of this knowledge has been lost, and we need it. We need this knowledge back. We don't know how long we're going to have the internet, so we've got to use it while we can. But in the meantime, we need to be learning all these low-tech and no-tech arts and skills, in case we have to be the change from the bottom up, you know, because, I mean, that's how I see it. In 10 or 20 years, the oil situation may be such a bad situation that food might not be shipped in. We might not have basic goods and services. So we have to learn how to do these things in our own community. I'm sure you both agree with that. So all these lost things, growing a garden, knitting, crocheting, making jam and jelly, all these things have to be learned again, because the younger people don't know how to do these things.
True.
And they even think you can't conduct business without a cell phone, which kind of amazes me when somebody told me that the other day. So,
but thank you, lady.
I kind of straightened her out very quickly. I said, look, people were conducting business for thousands and thousands of years before cell phones.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Was it the original
iPad
as a pen
comment.
And paper?
Yeah, well, it was just, you know, it was a silly comment on her part, you know, and I said, you know, how did people conduct business before cell phones? Cell phones are a relatively new invention.
Yeah. Hang on a second, Anita. I think Suzanne's trying to get to go here. Suzanne, I want to thank you for calling in and letting us know about New Seeds Festival and everything that's going on with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, ladies. I mean, like I said, it's amazing. Keep giving that wisdom out, because people need to hear it.
And send us the link to this festival, too. We want to be able to post on the web, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Anita. Thanks, Karen. Love you guys.
Love you.
Thank
too.
You
Have
for
a great
being
night,
on.
Okay.
You. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, I just need to let her go. She's trying to do her thing there. New Seeds Festival is great. You should definitely check it out. And I'm glad that you'll have that on the Wise Women media site for people to look up as well. You know, it's interesting going back and talking about how we've passed wisdom down. Let's talk about a couple things about that. We used to have extended families in our own home, so you would have grandparents who would have an opportunity to pass things along down to grandchildren.
Right.
You know, through their own kids and then their grandkids. And because we've been so much on what I call a treadmill system, chasing the dollar, you must have this, you must have that, keeping up with the Joneses. And even the people that are not keeping up with the Joneses, they're just trying to run just to keep basic amenities existing.
Right.
You know, food, clothing, shelter, some sanity in there, you know. So people are not doing, there's a lot of people that are not doing as much social things as what they have in the past, and they're reinventing things that they do, and they find joy and connections in the work that they're already doing. But we're also taking our elders, because we don't have time for the aging process, so we become disconnected from the aging process, to put them in homes and feed them pills.
Right, and right, the warehousing of our elders, which is really...
We're contributing and creating and facilitating the problems that are only going to end up catching up to us in time.
Right,
so
we've
got to be able to find a better balance and slow down, develop the relationships that we should have had and used to have, is more importantly, that we're going to need to recreate again with food, nutrition, family, relationships, what's really important. You know, when you talk about, you're talking to someone about how they couldn't conduct a business without a cell phone. Cell phones have just popped up in, what, the last 35 years?
Right.
Right. 35 years.
I knew a friend who had one in her car in 1990, I'm trying to think back, 1991 and 92. She had one in her car. She was the first person I knew that actually had a cell phone. She was a very well-to-do friend of mine in Washington, D.C., and she drove a red Jaguar, and her husband was very wealthy, and... The phone was huge. I mean, it was as big as a notebook. I mean, it was really big. And it had a huge antenna on it. But she was the first person I knew that had a cell phone. It really isn't what we would think of today in these terms as a cell phone. This was basically a car phone. And I didn't know anybody before her that had one.
Yeah, so that's within 30, that's definitely within 30, 35 years. So, you know, people... My mother grew up on a farm, and she had an outhouse growing up, and she's still alive today and doing very well, actually. So it's not like she's, like, on her deathbed or anything. And she grew up with an outhouse. They had always had a garden. I didn't know they butchered their own meat. I know in the first grade we had show and tell, and I brought a piece of cured cowhide in, and one of the kids asked me, like, where did you get that? I was like, well, this is what we do. And I said, where do you get your meat? And they said, from the grocery store. And I said, and this is the first time, I'm in first grade, the first time that I ever realized you could buy meat in a grocery store. Which sounds insane, right? People are like, man, what is she on? But the point is that in my world, we never went to the meat section in the grocery store because we didn't do that. On occasion, we get some vegetables from the vegetable section that just weren't in season because they were shipped somewhere else. But, you know, we would get our dairy, but I'd never known that you could, that there was even meat in the grocery store. It's just really important to really understand your relationship and really connect with yourself. I think that's another thing, is that people are not taking time to connect with themselves. And I know that for me, I'm pulled in many different directions, and it's important to take me time. Meditation, the word meditation or taking meditation time starts with the two letters M and E. So meditation begins with me. And
right.
I have to take that time for myself to really connect. Not only, when I say connect, it's like, I understand, I'm going to go spiritual on you here, Anita. But
Go right ahead. I'm ready.
I understand in my belief system, and of course, you know, there's a different belief system for as many other people that are out there in the world. But in my belief system, I believe that I'm a soul having a human experience.
Right.
And with physics and science is showing us all of these galaxies and all these billions of stars, and that we are just a galaxy, among universes, okay? We can be the only ones that are even partially intelligent, okay? There's got to be others. And so there's an entire web that we don't even see because we're limited by our physical form that exists. And I believe that there is, with me in connected, like people take air for granted, but you exist, you know, in harmony, or you exist not necessarily in harmony, but you exist with the air. You take up space. Okay? But most of
right.
you is there. Okay? So if we're connected to everything, we need to really connect with ourselves, our existence, our own energy, really explore how we came into form and into life, understanding and consciousness within this plane of existence, and what part of our we play in basically a theater, if you will, which is life. It's the theater of life. And
right.
if you think about you've got and how you came to be, I mean, you have your mother and your father, so you have this biological history. You also have a spiritual history and understanding that you are basically a star seed too, because you are connected with everything that is. So, and if you think about also the history of life theaters that your ancestors have gone through, and just people in general have gone through in societies, is you can see the development and the involvement of what's happened and how we've gotten to where we are now, and then check, okay, I've been kind of pushed along the river of life, but do I just want to kind of just tumble along the river? Or is it, you know, time to find maybe a different balance? Because I know there have been people that have been frustrated, and I myself have been one of them, is I'm working very hard for what I seem to feel is very little. And there needs to be a harmony. There needs to be a harmony with work, with play, with contributions, with self-satisfaction, with giving, with receiving, with all of that. And if you're not in harmony, then that's when it'll start to manifest. And part of this conversation is to remind people that they are creators, and to really get in touch with what it is that they want to create from within themselves, and how their energies and contribution would affect our outside world in that life cycle, if that makes any
well,
sense.
Well, I posted something on my wall as you were saying all of that. I posted a picture. It's a Kageya, the Japanese artist picture of a woman floating in the water she's reaching out to a dove. She's in a tropical place. And I just, as you were saying that, I said, this is where I need to be. I'm going to go with the flow. I'm intending this. And I posted this picture on my wall. And I thought, and those who know me know that I've had a very, very rough time the past several months on many personal levels. Today I had good news, but it's still not, how can I say, what I wanted to hear completely. So I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to intend that I am going to be doing what I love very soon, and I think that's key. I think for the past several months, I've come to the realization that what I was doing for work and play, number one, work and play weren't balanced, and number two, I wasn't doing what I love. And that is what I need to be doing, is what I love. My work needs to be my play. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, because if you're not happy, if you're not happy and you're not in the right vibration, it's not going to work. Now, I'm going to pause that right for a second. I'm actually getting text messages from people that are saying, what is the number to call in? So could you announce that number?
Yeah, the number to call in is 213-816-0357.
0357, okay.
Let me say that again. 213-816-0357. We're going into the last 20 minutes of the show. So if anybody wants to call in and ask questions, please do.
Awesome. It's very important to be, now that there's an old saying that says, do what you love, love what you do, and the money will come to you. If you are, there's a vibration. We're all operating in vibrations. We all have the ability to operate at different vibrations. We can do things that we don't want to do, and we can do them for a while, but ultimately it's not going to work out because it's not in our highest and best fit, and it's not working in a vibration that is in harmony with us.
Right.
So what's really, really, and this is all wise energy passed down, is that if you're doing something that you don't like to do, it doesn't matter how successful that you think you are or how much money you're making or whatever, I don't want to give it energy that it'll kill you, but it'll certainly dampen you and you won't be happy. And the point of being here is to do the best you can is to be happy.
Right.
And what does happy mean to you?
Right.
And then it doesn't seem like work. It just seems like, look at how I get to contribute and create in the world that, and being the change that I wish to see. How do I get to contribute it? And what do I want to do? And it makes things so much easier.
Right, right. Exactly. I certainly wasn't doing what I loved, and I thought I was for a long time there. The money was steady, but once that job was gone, I realized, that was not for me, that I could not go back and do the same thing. And what was amazing was the doors were being closed all the way down the hallway. I pictured myself, and Pamela kind of put this in focus, our friend Pamela put this in focus for me. I'm walking down a hallway, and just the door on the left is being shut, the door on the right is being shut. Well, there's only one door left at the end of the hall, so I've just got to step through it. And right now I'm in the front of it and just counting on faith that when that door pops open, I'm going to be able to walk through, and it's going to be exactly what I want and exactly what I love. So that's what I'm intending. So we shall know something within the next couple of weeks, I would say. So I don't want to go any further than that in discussing it, but I really do believe that 2012 is going to be an anchor year for most of us. And that many of us will go through changes, but, can you tell us a little bit, Karen, about a lot of the people that have passed and transitioned over the past couple of months? That seems to be pretty significant, too, for all of us.
Well, immediately we could talk about this past week. We lost three members of our communities, in different communities. In 3 days, the first one being a Reiki master and a healer herself, an RN working for hospice, working for contributing to those transitional changes that we make from physical state to spirit state, and in going back and forth over the course of maybe a month and a half with some different things, she found out days before she transitioned that she had days to live. So what that represented in this past weekend has been absolutely transformational for myself, as well as some immediate people around me. But Lori McDonald had passed early Monday morning with her son Jeremy McDonald at her side and holding her hand. Lori had gone through a lot of things of just becoming at peace with things that she had held on to for all of her life. And I think that every single day we need to make a conscious decision about what things that we want to carry with us and grudges that we hold, because that can fester and manifest into something physical, which we call is dis-ease.
Right.
It's fixable, but we have to let go and forgive. Forgiveness is one of the biggest things, and forgiveness even with yourself. I have to say that I've never been to such a memorial where so many things have happened to people that were in groups, and some where we let our egos get in our way, and it's prevented our higher selves from being able to work together and to manifest and create more solidly and more efficiently, if you will. I saw that really people were addressing things right then and there. And never have I also got up at a memorial and spoke from my heart. I did become pretty impassioned at one point in time. And I've never spoken in any form like that at a memorial. And I probably offended some people when I told them about it, that I said, well, that's just not what you do. But, you know, Jeremy had come up to me that right after that, and other people had come up to me and said, thank you for speaking what other people wouldn't. And there was a lot of healing that happened that weekend. I'm sad that now that ability to do it, once we have reached tragedy or somebody's lost in their family or something happens. But if we have the consciousness to see that that can happen at any point in time, then why wouldn't we choose that to begin with? And really, when we hold a grudge and we're being angry and whatever, we're really hurting ourselves. And if the byproduct is hurting someone else, you think, but somebody else that you think that may be mad, they may not be mad and having a good old time and not even thinking anything of it. But it's you're the one holding yourself back by doing that. And so you're the only one that's in control of your own emotions. And if you can find a happy spot within yourself and really, you know, go, is this in my flow? Is it not in flow with me? And be able to direct yourself from that standpoint, you'll just have a much more fulfilled and happier life. And you'll be listening to your higher self, but you also can't get rid of your ego. Your ego's there for a reason. But you have to marry the two and let your ego know that your higher self is going to be the one that's making the decisions and basically reasoning. And if your ego jumps in and says there's an issue and there's a problem, then you need to have that inner discourse with yourself to go, okay, what's going on here, and let's take a look at it. But if we did that, and half of the world did that,
right,
with the mindfulness, we would be living in a completely different world.
So as we go into 2012, it seems, I mean, how I envision this is every moment is sacred, and that we should be walking in that manner. Every moment is sacred. How we treat others is sacred. How we treat others is how we will be treated. We have to be aware of those things going on around us and how we are going to walk through the fire, so to speak, because I really think that this year is our year, and what are we going to make of that? Are we going to stand strong, or are we going to get buffeted by the wind? I'm always reminded of my one really bad hurricane experience was in Hurricane Opal. I moved from Washington, D.C. down to the Panhandle, Fort Walton Beach, and 10 days later it was hit by It was 5 miles per hour less than a Category 5. It was Hurricane Opal, which hit on October 4th, 1995. And I remember the media showing they were film footage of the animals and of nature going on during the storm. And one thing that amazed me was a bunch of ducks that were actually faced towards the wind. And the wind was just, you could tell it was just amazingly strong. There was stuff flying by them. And here's these little ducks, they're facing the wind. Their wings are barely flapping, but they weren't moving. They were actually steadfast, like gripping the ground and not moving and not getting blown about. It was kind of amazing. So I always say, when I reach hardship, am I going to be blown away by the wind, or am I going to be like a duck in a hurricane? So I know that sounds really funny, but I saw the reality of that, you know, in that film footage, and I took that as a personal lesson to me. And it was really funny when that hurricane was going on during those months. I was going through the same exact thing I'm going through now, issues with work and feeling depressed and not feeling confident. And after seeing that film, a lot of positive things started happening, because I had changed my attitude too. And I changed what I was going to accept into my life and what I was not going to accept in my life any longer. And it was a valuable lesson. But I hope that makes sense. I don't know if that was too cryptic or what. But
No, I understand. There's one thing I just remembered that I wanted to mention, speaking of, one, being happy about the things that you do, and two, permaculture and gardening, is on February the 9th, which is a Thursday, if I'm recalling correctly, we are going to have a musician and film producer director, Joy Truskowski from Roanoke, Virginia. She's going to be down here doing a film screening of her documentary called Seeking the Good Life in America, which is about three intentional communities that were started at different times that have been existing for quite a while now, that are completely self-sufficient. One doesn't even have electricity really running into the place, so they can everything. They don't have any refrigeration or anything. And that will be showing. There's a $3 to $5 suggested donation. There's going to be an opportunity to buy the DVD, I believe, for $10 and signed copy. We can ask Joy lots of questions and what she's experienced on her journeys with that. And so that's, doing what it is that she's passionate about is important. And just gives a great opportunity for alternative ways of living and living with one another. And the film really depicts some really great ideas of values that these communities have been able to exist with over the years. I know one's Twin Oaks, which is a pretty popular one as well.
Now, what is the name of the movie again?
The name of the documentary is called Seeking the Good Life in America by Joy Truskowski. Yeah. And she'll be here at Sacred Grounds on Thursday, February the 9th. Her band, called Another Roadside Attraction, from Virginia, from Roanoke, Virginia, is also going to be playing here that 7th, that's Tuesday, our singer-songwriter night as well. So she's also got some other gigs that are happening in the Tampa Bay area. So you can find her on Facebook, Another Roadside Attraction, or Joy Truskowski. And really, if anybody is listening, please come out and support. And it's really a great opportunity to see how intentional communities are working.
That band is real familiar. But also, it's the title of a Tom Robbins novel, too, I think. Another Roadside Attraction. I think so, but I've also heard of the band. Yeah, I'd love to come, so I will mark my calendar. Did you do a Facebook event for that yet?
Yes, it's out there. You can find that under Sacred Grounds. I think it's Facebook, Sacred Grounds Coffee House. And you can also find that information on our calendar at sacredgroundstampa.com. And then I had one other person that was actually had texted me and said, what's the number to call in? So I didn't know if you had anybody else on hold, but Susan Allen, actually from Massachusetts. So I was hoping that she would call in and talk a little bit with us, but I think our time's running out. I don't know if that's going to end up happening or not.
Yeah, we're down to the last 5 minutes, and what would you like to say in closing about what's next for Sacred Grounds, what's next for us as community, especially here in the Tampa Bay area? Where do you want to see us all in 5 years if we're still here?
Well, the mere fact that Sacred Grounds has been existing and running and still sees new people after 15 years, and you know, I've wrestled with closing it down or whatever. It clearly has spoken to me that it needs to be here, and it's a community hub. And so, with my understanding that we have a solid foundation, been working on growing roots for community, it's time for Sacred Grounds to, come together in a new alternative exchange with community, because people want to be able to interact and exchange with Sacred Grounds, and they may not have the traditional resources that we've seen in previous years, and so it's time for that cooperativeness to manifest. And I've been wanting to do it for a while, and just how am I going to get there? And I've just literally stepped a little bit to the left and looked at it from a different perspective, and things are really starting to come in, almost like I've stepped into a new light. And when we have different vibrations of light, we get to see different vibrations, we get to see different things. And so I'm excited about working on that, and just Sacred Grounds continuing to be part of a community and facilitating community, and for it to pretty much, you know, be more self-sufficient in its own right. And for myself is to be able to educate myself in the passions that I've had for a while, that it's time for me to step forward and to work and acquiring those other tools that I wanted, that I do want, in order to, again, contribute back to our community at large in a wiser way. So
right.
I'm actually going to be pursuing naturopathy, becoming a master herbalist and a nutritionist. So, but not in the modern day, if you will, educational system. It'll be more of a wise way.
I think I am going to really put my first foot forward and say, from this time forward, from today, I will be following what is my bliss, and nothing else matters. If it gives me bliss, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, life is too short to focus on what we can't do or what we don't love, and I just want to do what I love. Not necessarily what I'm best at, but what I love doing. And I know it will work for me.
Right.
Now we're going into the last minute and a half on the show. I want to just reiterate a couple of those events before we close that are. We have the move to amend Occupy the Courts at the Federal Courthouse, downtown Tampa, 801 North Florida Avenue. That'll be taking place from 3 to 6, January 20th, Friday afternoon and evening. So be there. We also have a house party for Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein at 8 o'clock on January 25th. That's a Wednesday night. There is a Facebook event for that, so So check out Sacred Grounds for any more information. And I also want to thank our promoters and those who produce us, Here Be Monsters, Roundtree 7, and the Hoodoo blog. We want to thank them for having us on their network. And you can find us at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com or wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And we're also on Facebook. Karen, thank you for being with us tonight. I want to thank you for lively conversation, ideas, creativity, and keep doing what you're doing. And thanks for being here. And good night to all our listeners from Wise Women. Thank you. Good night, Karen.
Good night, Anita. Thank you for the opportunity. And be well, everyone out there.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.